Well, greetings, Saints. It's good to be with you tonight. I'd kind of like to take a little journey tonight. Let's pray before we do. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you have given us this road map to salvation. You've given us this road map on how to spend eternity with you in heaven, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to be with me to speak, because you know I can't do it on my own. It has to be you, Lord. And I thank you for it. You're the strength that lives in us, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I ask that you bless the brothers and sisters out there tonight, Father, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And I'd like to take this journey and talk about it, that everybody that calls himself a Christian has got to take, if they hope to go to heaven, if they hope to spend eternity with the Lord. You know, very early in the Word of God, the Lord told us to get a new heart and a new spirit so that we could live. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 31 says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, wherein ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live." Alright, how do we acquire that new heart and that new spirit in order to live? Well, let's see what the Word says. What's required of us to accomplish that? That doesn't make any difference what religion tells us. If it don't line up with the Word of God, it's not true. So the Word has to be our standard, right? John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, even if your religion says that you got to be baptized as an infant, believe in Jesus and then be confirmed, Jesus said something quite different, didn't he? Jesus said that in order to enter God's kingdom, you got to be born again. Now, what does Jesus mean when he says you got to be born again? That word born again in the Greek means born from above. John chapter 3 and verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And Jesus explains that to be born again, we got to be born of the water and the Spirit, as the Word tells us in Ezekiel. Over in Ezekiel 36 and 25, it says, "And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Verse 27, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep mine ordinances and do them." And God prophesied through Ezekiel of the time when he's going to purify us with that clean water, a new heart and a new spirit. And this is the water and the spirit that Jesus was speaking of. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You receive this new spirit, this born-again spirit. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. And you receive this new heart and this born-again spirit by repenting of your sins and believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior. Romans 10 and verse 9. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, folks, that's the first step in the born-again experience, isn't it? That's the first step. A lot of Christians believe that this is the only step in becoming born again or saved. In reality, this only begins that born-again journey to eternal life. It's what gives you the Spirit prophesied in Ezekiel. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And that's what the Bible calls the Spirit of Christ, isn't it? When you're born again, the Spirit of Christ comes inside of you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, but if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So, we got to have that born again Spirit of Christ or we don't belong to God, do we? So, that's the first step in our journey to being born again. And that first thing that happens is in your spirit. Now, the second step is your born again soul. And the final step is your born again resurrected body. If you've already done this, you have that born again spirit. That's the good news. The bad news is that's the easiest part of that born again journey. All right, let's see what the next step that the Bible commands us in that process of being saved. Mark chapter 16 verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, it don't make any difference what your religion teaches about baptism. If it don't agree with the scriptures, throw it out. Jesus says you got to believe first and then be baptized. So infant baptism can't be found in the scriptures. Not even one time is it in there. But what we read is that when sinners believed on the Lord Jesus, they immediately got baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 says, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. You know, these men believed on the Lord Jesus, and they asked, what do we got to do, Lord? Peter's answer was pretty simple. He said, repent and be baptized. And it says in Acts 2:41, so those who received his word were baptized. You know, time after time we read about new believers, and we talk about babies. You never see babies in there. New believers being baptized. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 through 33 says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. Now, what does baptism signify? And why was baptism so important to all the believers back in? Well, baptism is really a confession of your faith. It represents the steps in your born-again journey. Let's see what it says here, how we do that. When you are lowered into the water, that represents the washing of the water of the Word and the death of your old self receiving your born-again Spirit of Christ. Colossians 3:3 said, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. All right, secondly, being when you're underneath the water, that represents the burial of the old you, your old flesh man, just like when Christ was dead and buried. Colossians 2:12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith. And third, when you come out of the water, that represents your being resurrected with Christ. Just like when Christ came out of the tomb with his resurrected body, you come out of the water with your new spiritual body. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. When you come out of the water, you're a new creation. It's that new, born again child of God who comes up out of the water. You're now raised with Jesus, and it's Christ who now lives in you, and not that old you. By faith, it's no longer you that lives, but Christ living in you. Paul sums up the whole meaning behind the baptism right here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Or are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Boy, that's a nice picture that Paul paints for us on the meaning of baptism. Paul shows us the journey of that born-again spirit and the born-again soul, and finally, born-again resurrected body. It's an outward act of faith of what you profess that has happened to you and going to happen to you. And from this point on, we're living by faith that is Christ who now lives in us, right? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Have you been baptized yet? I ain't talking about as a baby, but since you received that born-again spirit, you need to be. Jesus set that example for us when he went to John the Baptist to be baptized. In Matthew 3 and 13, he says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And if you haven't been baptized yet, Scripture says, Now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name, Acts 22 and 16. And I encourage you to do it now. And you need to do what Jesus has commanded us to do. And that's one of the commands he's told us to do. And your baptism, listen, your baptism signifies that you've now entered into the second, and actually is the longest leg of that born-again journey. Now that you've got that born-again spirit that's required for eternal life, next comes a born-again soul that's also required if you want to go to heaven. That soul that you have is who you are. That makes up your personality. Everything about you, both good and bad. And a lot of Christians don't understand that. But if you just stop at that born-again spirit, you become what Jesus calls unfruitful. John 15 and 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Now, Jesus is talking about born-again believers here. You can't become a branch in Jesus unless you're saved. And once you're saved, you're a branch. And then one of two things is going to happen. The first is that you're going to bear the fruit of Jesus, and when you do, he prunes you in order to bear more fruit in you. And it's that never-ending process of being born again in your soul. And it's that process the Lord uses to clean up your life and make you holy. And the other thing that happens to branches or believers is that they don't bear the fruit of Jesus. And what happens to them? They're taken away and they burn, aren't they? Let's see what it says in the Word that happens to the unfruitful. Verse 3 in John 15 says, "Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me," listen, "he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Check yourself out. Are you that bare branch without any fruit? Jesus told us what happens if you are. And that's why it's important to understand that we don't need to take for granted our new born-again experience. Now, with our born-again spirit and soul, we got to continue in the Lord in what Jesus calls the regeneration. Matthew 19 and 28. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, the Greek word for regeneration means new birth or spiritual regeneration. And when you look through the New Testament, you can see that this is a process, and it ain't a one-time event. It ain't a one-time throw your mark in the sand and you've already made it, your ticket's punched and everything's okay. It's a process of continually dying to that person you used to be and becoming more and more like Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. "That ye put away, as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that waxes corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." You remember that old man that died in the water at your baptism? That's your former life. And now that you've died, that the old man has died, you need to be renewing your mind with the Spirit. You're putting on that new man, that spiritual man who obeys the Word of God in holiness and in truth. And that's what Jesus was speaking about when he said we got to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is what Jesus was speaking about when he said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, "And he said unto all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It didn't say just one time. It said daily. "For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Jesus says you got to deny yourself and lose your old self-life in order to gain his eternal life. He says you got to take up your cross daily. And that doesn't mean just when you give your heart to Jesus. That means daily, every day. The only way you can take up your cross is to die to your old self. Just like Jesus had to go to the cross, you got to go to your cross. And that's instead of a physical death, it's a death to your old self, your old soul that needs to die in order to be reborn. It's the way we produce the fruit of Christ. And it's a daily journal. And it's what's required in order to have that born-again soul. And eventually you'll receive that born-again body. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 says, "As Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. When you first receive Jesus and you get that born-again spirit that we spoke about a while ago, you're counted righteous because of your faith. Now, it's Christ's righteousness which God sees instead of your faults. This is when Jesus began to do his work of sanctification and cleanses inside of us. And it says that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word. The more you hear that word of God, the more you receive that renewed mind of Christ and begin to walk in holiness. He's doing that work in our hearts, folks. He is convicting us to change. And we're supposed to respond to this by obeying these convictions about our behaviors. And you begin to move from righteousness by faith into righteousness by manifestation in your life. For example, before you were born again, it was okay to keep that extra money that the store clerk gave you, wasn't it? I remember here the other day, just a short story. I was in Walmart and had filled up the grocery cart with groceries and went up, and I had trouble getting one of the last items in the grocery cart checked out in the help yourself place. And I just checked it out, throwed the sacks in the grocery cart, never paid for nothing, walked out the door, got in the truck, went home. And I got home and I said, I don't think I paid for that. And so we had to call back up at Walmart and go back up there and pay for it. Well, when I was not born again, it wouldn't have been a problem for me to keep that money. But now, as a child of God, that conviction in our heart made us go back and pay that grocery clerk again, pay Walmart back off. This is the conviction I'm talking about. This is the conviction in our heart after you're born again. That's because your soul is in the process of becoming born again by how you think and how you act according to what you know from the Word of God and according to that small voice of the Lord. You're starting to produce that fruit Jesus speaks about. When we obey those convictions in our heart, it's going to start transforming you. When you first become that newborn creature in Christ, you're covered by faith with Christ's righteousness while not having much yourself. And then God starts to cleanse us up by the Word of God, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the Word. And the more you hear and read the Word of God, the more you receive that renewed mind of Christ, and you start walking in that holiness. You begin to move from righteousness by faith into righteousness by manifestation in your own life. Your soul is in the process of becoming born again by how you think and how you act according to what you know from the Word of God. You're now starting to produce that fruit Jesus speaks about. And even though the Lord is patient with us to bear this fruit, he ain't going to wait forever. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6, he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit thereon and found none. And he said unto the vine dresser, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why doth it also cumber the ground? And he, answering, saith unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit thenceforth, well. But if not, thou shalt cut it down. The Lord is waiting for us to produce fruit, and that fruit is Jesus being manifested in our physical bodies. And if you've been guilty of being a plant, that's a Christian, for all these years being only a bare branch, confessing Christ while living in the world, You know, I encourage you to confess this to God and change your way of thinking to what the Bible said. It ain't too late. You can ask the Lord to do it in you, and guess what? He'll do it. And in order to produce fruit, you must first be reborn in your spirit, then in your soul. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life." Jesus says that His words are spirit and life. And it's by reading and hearing the Word of God that we are transformed from that old flesh, our old sinful self, into the Spirit, that born again new creation in Christ. The words of Jesus are spiritual. They're supernatural. They'll transform your soul from flesh into spirit on a continual basis if you're really becoming born again in your soul. And this all starts with your mind. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace." And to live with your mind set on the flesh is to live according to your desires and what pleases your flesh. It's all about you. Me, 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 and what makes you feel good. And guess what? That ends in death. Death to the spirit man and death to the physical man, of course. And the sad fact of the matter, and that this describes a bunch of people who have asked Jesus into their hearts, and they've become a barren fruit. Barren branch. Unfruitful branch. But if to live with your mind set on the Spirit, that's to submit to the Word of God. It's turning the other cheek, not returning evil for evil. It's seeking first the kingdom of God instead of a career and money. Loving your neighbor as yourself. It's reading and studying the Bible and obeying the commands Jesus set forth for us. That's what God expects from His plants. That word Christian means Christ-like. And if we're not Christ-like, we're not really a Christian. We are a bare branch destined for the fire. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "Be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." You'll find it. 98% of your battle between flesh and spirit is fought between your ears. Your mind is the battleground that Satan wages his fight with. He uses temptations to appeal to your flesh. Your flesh is, if you don't kill that flesh, it'll kill you. If you renew your mind, your way of thinking by reading and hearing God's word, then you're going to be what Paul calls transformed. And that word in the original is the Greek word metamorpho. And that's the word that we get to metamorphosis out of, or to change, to transform. So we receive that born again spirit, and now we're receiving that born again soul. We are in the process of transforming into the likeness of Jesus every day, day by day, day in and day out. And by us denying ourselves, we're putting to death that old man. And we're renewing our minds according to the Word of God. And we are more and more receiving that born again soul. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which liveth and abideth." And only the word of God and your obedience to the Spirit is going to purify your soul so that it's going to be reborn, right? Verse 23 says that we are born again through the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Ain't nothing can transform your soul except the Word of God, and you changing the way you behave according to what the Word says, right? And it's true that we got to have faith in our salvation right now. That if you die tonight, you'd go ahead and be in heaven. But we never, ever should take for granted that it's already been accomplished. That we've crossed the finish line. We've made it into, we slid right on into heaven. No. Romans 13 and 11, it says, it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. Salvation is nearer because we're walking out our salvation, a born-again spirit into a born-again spirit and soul. The Apostle Peter tells us that we got to make our born-again calling sure by practicing or doing what we see in the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never stumble. When we do what the Word of God says, we're proving our actions that we really do love the Lord, and we're never going to fall. It's the same thing Jesus said about not just hearing His Word, but going ahead and doing it, right? Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Everyone that cometh unto me and heareth my words and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who digged and went deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream brake against that house and could not shake it because it had been well builded. And only when we do what Jesus commands us do we move from that born-again spirit to a born-again soul. We now built our foundation on that rock instead of on a foundation of sand. And then when we will receive our born-again body in the resurrection to come. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't take his born-again position for granted, did he? He continually worked on renewing his soul by disciplining his body. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25 says, and every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. That word rejected in the Greek is adokamos, and that means unapproved, rejected, cast away, or reprobate. Paul is saying that he disciplines his body and brings it into subjection so that he won't be reprobated or make it into heaven. He don't want to be a bare branch, but that doesn't produce any fruit. Now, if somebody like the Apostle Paul doesn't take for granted his salvation, shouldn't we? It seems that today in the church, the Christian church, that's our greatest sin, the sin of self-assuredness in our salvation. Are you disciplining your body into the subjection of Christ so that you won't be disqualified? You know, if Paul had to do that, don't we too? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says this, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. That born-again journey we've been talking about leads to heaven. That's a long and narrow road with a whole lot of opportunity to stumble and fall off into the ditch. As this scripture says, we grow into our salvation in order to be saved. It starts with a new heart and a new spirit. Now, we must grow up into a born-again soul by drinking the spiritual milk of the Word. But it's not us and our works that are doing it, but it's the Lord working in us, isn't it? Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit that does the renewing and regeneration of your soul. Do you have that Holy Spirit, or do you just have that born-again Spirit of Christ? A lot of Christians believe that because they're saved, they have the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Bible teaches. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. "Now when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it was fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Now you can see right there that the Holy Spirit is not automatically given when you first become born again. Only after you have hands laid on you or you're prayed for you. And there's a big difference between believers who only receive that born-again Spirit of Christ and that new heart and those who receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That gives you God's Spirit. Let's see again the promised spirits that we need to receive. And you notice God promises two. One spirit in verse 26 and one in verse 27 of Ezekiel 36. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." That's the born-again Spirit of Jesus. That's not the Holy Spirit, which God promises in the next verse. This new heart that you have is the born-again Spirit of Jesus. And that speaks to your heart to tell you right from wrong. It's that conscience. It's that conviction that you get in your heart. Now, the next verse is speaking of the second Spirit that's promised. That's the Holy Spirit. Verse 27. "And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my ordinances and do them." That's a different Spirit than in verse 26. This is God's Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. It causes us to walk in the ways of the Lord and obey His Word. Simply put, it's your new heart with the born-again Spirit of Christ, which speaks to you and tells you right from wrong. And it's the Holy Spirit within you, which gives you the power and ability to listen to the Spirit of Christ and resist that devil. It ain't us that does the resisting, but God doing it in us by the power of His Holy Spirit. And that's what a lot of Christians don't understand. They think just because they've accepted Jesus that they've got the Holy Spirit. They only got the Spirit of Jesus in them at that point. Now, notice the two spirits which Paul talks about in this next verse in Romans chapter 8 and 9. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then you're living in the Spirit instead of the flesh. Now let's see what it says a little further on in verse 9. "But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ," that's Jesus' born-again Spirit, "he is none of His." If you don't have the born-again Spirit of Jesus, you don't belong to the Father. Verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal body through His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now you can see that the same two spirits that we just read about in Ezekiel 36 in this last verse, right? Just like we talked about in Acts chapter 8, believers were baptized into Jesus. They were born again, and they received the Spirit of Jesus. But they hadn't received the Holy Spirit until somebody laid hands on them and prayed for them, right? Over in Acts chapter 19 is another account, more proof. This is another witness. And he said unto them, did ye receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said unto him, nay, we did not so much as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given. And he said, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him. That is, on Jesus. And when he heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, here he is again, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. If you've only believed and been baptized and haven't had hands laid on you to receive the Holy Spirit, then you're going to find out that's the reason you struggled all these many years with sin. You don't have God's Spirit. That's the power that God gives us from on high to overcome these sins. If you do have the Holy Spirit, then he's going to cause you to obey God's Word. Without God's Spirit doing it in you, you're going to constantly fail and continually wander off that narrow road. Now, these are simplified things I'm talking about here. There's more to it than this, but this is just to simplify the steps to salvation and to eternal glory. When we see Christians repeatedly going back to the altar, rededicating their life to Christ, that's because they don't have the Holy Spirit and they only have that born-again Spirit of Jesus in their heart. That born-again Spirit is telling them what's right from wrong, but they don't have any power in themselves to obey, or they don't know that the Holy Spirit is doing that in them. Remember, God said, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That person who hasn't received the infilling of the Holy Spirit is going to struggle their whole life until they receive the Holy Spirit. It's only when you receive the Holy Spirit that he's going to work in you to cause you to obey the Word of God. And that's why it's such an important element to your rebirth into that new creation. That your receiving the Holy Spirit is an essential part of producing fruit and growing in your faith. From just having a born-again spirit into having a born-again soul. The Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, along with reading and studying the Word of God, brings you into soul salvation. You can't have one without the other. You must have the Holy Spirit in you, and you must renew your mind with the Word of God in order to have soul salvation. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, all you got to do is ask. Look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? All we got to do is ask the Lord to fill us up with his Spirit. He's going to do it. The promise of receiving the Holy Spirit is for everybody whom the Lord calls to himself. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. The Holy Spirit has been promised to all of us that are called. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to go out and search out and find you a couple of Spirit-filled believers to lay hands on you and ask and pray the prayer of faith to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can go into scriptures and we see that the biggest evidence for those who have received the Holy Spirit is the gift of tongues. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speaking in tongues and prophesying. You know, a lot of people, some people, receive the Holy Spirit without having hands laid on them, or the evidence of speaking in tongues. But, you know, we see throughout the scriptures that the laying on a hand to receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is a lot. There's a lot of it. And we need to compare the power the disciples demonstrated after receiving the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Man, they were changed. They changed a whole bunch of folks that day because it was now God's power working in them. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city until ye be clothed with power from on high. That's the power that God promised in Ezekiel 36. And that same power is promised to us. Jesus' last words before he ascended into heaven were in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. It's the Holy Spirit of God that gives us the power to stand and not to continue to fall into sin. That's the power that he has to do it. But we also have to renew our minds with the Word of God to learn what it is to lose this old life, don't we? Jude chapter 24 says, verse 24 says, now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy. It's God's Holy Spirit that keeps us from stumbling. It's him and his power that makes us blameless before the throne. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll find that instead of having to travel that long, narrow road alone, continuing to falling off and trying on your own, that it's God now taking over your life. And he's traveling with you. He's guiding you. And he's telling you what to do if you're listening. And that makes for a whole lot smoother journey. So we need to be filled with his power. And that's God's Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is everything. He's the wisdom also. He's the power and the wisdom of God. Now, we've established, basically speaking, now there's a whole lot more to it than what I'm telling you, but basically speaking, we've established all that's involved in this born-again experience. And you might have a question like, am I finally born again after all of this? It ain't finished, folks. Your soul is in a continual process of being reborn. It's that sanctification or purification that we read about in the Word. Romans 6 and 22 says, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you're going to notice that first comes the sanctification or purification of your soul or your life that we live here on earth. And only then does it become the end of your salvation, which is the new resurrected body. And that brings eternal life. And this is the process to be truly born again. First spirit, then soul, and then finally your body. If you skip the first two, you ain't never going to receive that new body and eternal life in heaven. And if you're wondering how you're doing, you can just look at yourself to see the areas in which you have been born again in your soul. Can you go day after day without lying or stealing? Well, praise God. That part of your soul has been reborn. And when you're unjustly persecuted or you're insulted and you're turning the other cheek and you're not defending yourself and you're not returning insult with insult, then that part of your soul has been born again. And until you can take your persecution and do all of those things and pray for those that come against you, in that part of your soul is not born again if you're not doing those things. And then until each part of your old fleshly self is completely conquered, you haven't been reborn in that part of your soul. The good news is that the blood of Christ is covering you in those areas until you're cleansed by the Lord. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord's going to be working on you and complete it until the day you die. You know, the other enemies in our soul that we got to defeat in our born-again journey, it's going to be things like greed, gambling, covetousness, wanting more, lust, gossiping, prejudices, judging others, anger, gluttony, loving worldly things more than God. And that's just some of the areas our soul needs that rebirth in order to eventually receive that born-again resurrected body. The Apostle Paul describes the fruit that we should manifest in our soul in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you are Christ, you've crucified the old you with its old fleshly desires, and you are continually receiving that born-again soul. And with that born-again soul, you're going to be a different person than you used to be. Your life and your personality is going to be ruled more and more by the Spirit in love, in joy, and in peace. And you're going to find yourself with more patience. And you're going to find yourself kinder to others. Goodness, faithfulness, self-control is going to be a part of you, because it ain't no longer you that lives, but it's Christ who lives in you. That's the fruit that Jesus is returning for. And only those who have overcome the world and who have borne the fruit of Jesus is going to enter eternity with him. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5 says, he that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. Now, the example we see in scriptures is for the first step of believing and receiving that born-again spirit. The second step is water baptism. And thirdly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And those were the steps for the apostles and the early church in order to even begin that process of renewing your mind and becoming born again in your soul. If you'll just follow those steps, the Lord promises that he, and not you, is going to do that sanctification in your soul. And I hope this has helped you understand what it really means to be born again. And that it's not a one-time thing, but it's a continual process until we die. If you obey the word, you always have companionship on your long journey in life. John 14 and 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Both the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of God is going to make their home in your heart and guide you through your journey in this life. And if you hadn't decided to follow Jesus, you need to do it and receive His born-again spirit today. And if you hadn't been baptized since you became a born-again believer, do it today. And if you hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, go ahead on and do it today. It's all by faith. Tomorrow's going to be too late. We need to do these things we're commanded. And the Lord's going to do His part in your spirit, your soul, and body. And I'm going to end with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. Well, praise be to God.